This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, and welcome to Saturday Night Shaggy. This is another August episode, or July, right? This is another July episode.
Comes out in August.
We're in August. We're recording this in August, but this is meant to be a July episode. If you've been paying attention to the news recently, one of the shows that recently debuted in this summer anime season is actually Getter Robo Arc, and we decided to read Getter Robo, the original, the classic, not actual arc, you know, not the arc called Getter Robo Arc, just the OG. Yeah. But I'm really excited to really dive into this. I'm a huge fan of Getter Robo. I'm the kind of like poser fan who like barely dip their toes into the series, but just, dude, Getter's design is so fucking cool. It's such a cool, like, it's such a round boy, but it's also super badass. And the fact that, like, it has, like, a tomahawk, like, it's just fucking cool. And Getter Beam! Shit like that. I fucking live for that shit. Anyway, today I am joined, actually, by my two co-hosts, V-Lord and Sakaki. What's up, V-Lord? What's up, Sakaki?
Not much. Doing my thing, living my life.
I'm ready to getter on.
Living La Vida Getter.
Yes. Okay, no, that's the show title. Shit, that's even better.
We live in La Vida Getter just like Musashi. Alright. Maybe not.
We stand one king forever.
True. I'm honestly, okay. Fuck it. Spoiler time. We're going straight into the, okay? How the fuck did Musashi die before the professor? That's OD.
Oh my god. So, fun fact, initially when they were planning out who would die, they were thinking it would be Ryoma.
Huh.
Gee, I wonder why. Like, that fucking, oh shit, the whole arc with, like, the kids and, like, where he, like, sacrificed himself and, like, oh, he died. But then, like, they made it so obvious that he was definitely not dead. Good thing it was just, like, a mega fucking long-ass chapter that same thing we found out he wasn't actually.
Yeah, like, God. Like, I will admit, okay, like, I'm the Getter Virgin, so we're going to start a new Getter Virgin podcast soon.
Ah, yes, the Getter Virgin.
Yes, that's our new name. All podcasts with Virgin in their name do well.
Step aside, Rant Cafe. A new rival has appeared.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I've never, like, I mean, full disclosure, I am not a mech person. Like, there are very few mech series I really like, so, and I know that's really unfair to them. Because they're not all the same thing. Not everything's Gundam.
I mean, you've seen one Gurren Lagann, you've seen one Getter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people have told me. Like, when they tried to get me into Getter Robo, they're like, you like Gurren Lagann, you'll love this. And I don't know, I never took them at their word. So reading it now is just like, maybe it was I that was the fool. Because this was so, it was insane, but in a great way. I compared it to basically like coffee in manga format, because last couple of days I haven't been sleeping too great. But when I picked this up, I was a wide awake through the whole thing. Like, it was definitely like my Red Bull. So...
Like, yeah, I mean, as someone who drank coffee while reading this, it definitely gives you, like, a double dose of high.
It's so fucking insane. I love the fact that the final chapter is just Musashi dies. And at least for the third volume, just, like, God. I mean, Like I said, we stand one king, but the fact that they just went there for the finale, I was thinking, oh, well, okay. I mean, that's not going to happen, right? And they went there.
Nah, man.
Hikami-nud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kazuki Nakashima, the writer of Gurren Lagann, has said that, like, yeah, Getter Robo has been, like, a huge inspiration to them. And it makes sense because, like, Getter Robo is, like, essentially the original combining robot, like, exactly. Series. Like, there have been, obviously, Super Robot series before that, like Mazinger Z and stuff like that. But combining robots, that's where you have Getter Robo. Getter Robo is the OG in that territory.
Get the change!
So, did we want to talk about a little bit? I mean, there's a story here. I don't really think it's important, but...
Honestly, I just want to talk about, for now, like, just all the highlights, like, all the fucking cool-ass shit.
Because go for it.
There is so much spectacle, and, like, I think, like, the first huge scene that, like, really grabbed me was actually in Chapter 2, I think, when they went, or was it Chapter 2? Or no, it was, like, 3 or 4, where, like, they go underwater after they recruit Hayato, and Hayato's just, like, shitting, like, pissing himself, and he's just, like, in the robot, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I have this thing strapped onto me, but why are we going underwater? And then, like, the fucking, Gore, I guess, like, the dinosaur king commander empire dude, whatever.
Oh, that's what it is? Because I just, goal is what I, so, goal. I mean, disclosure, I didn't, like, I read it completely in Japanese, so I have no idea of, like, how it's translated in, like, scans or whatever, so I just assumed his name was Golu.
So the main villain is named Gore.
Gore, okay.
Gore.
Yeah, and then the Empire is like the dinosaur empire, and like the individual creatures are like the Reptiloids, I think?
Reptilians, Reptiloids, whatever.
Yeah.
But dude, that underwater scene when they like come face to face with like the commander or whatever, and it's just like a projection made out of like they're like communicating with the amoeba to like make this shape or whatever. It's so fucking anime.
It's like it's some galaxy brain level stuff.
He wasn't actually there. He was just like sending radio signals to the amoeba to like form the shape of him or whatever.
Yes, I remember.
But oh god, it's just so good. Like the way that like the actual scenery underwater was drawn, and like all of the designs for the monsters are crazy because it's like this insane mix of like mech and like biopunk with like just random like organic things connected to like mechanical shit, and it's just who comes up with this? And it's obviously, oh yeah, this is Ken Ishikawa, who like was Gona Guy's assistant, and Gona Guy made a lot of crazy fucking shit too, like.
Yeah, you can definitely tell Ishikawa took a lot from Gona Guy, because, like, well, Gona Guy is, like, credited as writing Getter Robo. He's more of just the concept creator, and then Ishikawa kind of, like, did his own thing for the run. But, like, even then, like, there is still a lot of, like, parallels you could see between, like, Getter Robo and, like, your usual Nagai series. I'd say the one caveat is that, like, it doesn't have, like, say, a lot of the cynicism that say Nagai has in like Devilman. It's a bit more optimistic, while also like having some important messages about like the limits of like humanity and like what humanity is capable of, but it's not going the direction of being like, oh, like we should be wary of this in like the real world.
Yeah, because obviously it's like too fantastical, just like the stuff of like, oh, fucking dinosaurs have been hibernating for over like 4,000 years under like the magma crust or whatever, and now they've come for revenge because fuck humans.
I mean, that's the whole manga. You can sum it up, just fuck humanity.
Which I mean, like, to be fair, humanity probably has a comic.
Yeah, but... I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, you just... know that professor is such an asshole. Wow.
I mean, listen, like, at the beginning, the professor is kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he is. And Hayato was, like, literally, he was recruited while he was, like, plotting to, like, kill politicians and shit, like, for his revolution. Like, he's a fucking, like, I don't know, like, some kind of, I don't want to say, like, a communist, but, like, some kind of, like, radical political anarchist or something.
Yeah. And even, like, Ryo, like, he's beating the crap out of people and, like, killing them in the beginning, early chapters.
Respect, like, my father!
Besides Musashi, none of them are exactly good people.
Musashi's insane, too. He was in the fucking jungle in the mountains for, like, a year just because, like, I'm gonna get stronger.
He's not a mass murderer, though.
True.
They're all just assholes, and I don't know but piggybacking on what you just said, was just like, I just imagine Gold just waking up in the morning and be like, you know what, fuck humanity, fuck everyone, I'm going up there and I'm gonna fucking do something about it.
True.
Just like, he gives me like a Mumra vibes for some reason.
True.
Yeah.
That's what the whole time I was reading this, I was like, is he like a G.I. Joe, like the Cobra dude, or what was the name? And then that's the thing. Yeah, Mumra. God, yes. You know what it is?
It's the design, like part of the design, because, like, you know, he has like the Cobra kind of thing with like the neck, except that's like his face shape. But then like the, not stripes, but like, you know, the horizontal lines that are part of that like Cobra neck scale thing or whatever, like that's what gives like the impression of like the band-aids on Mumra.
True. It's true.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, the whole time I was like, he reminds me of like another thing entirely, but I couldn't put my finger on what, and that's it. But yeah, no, V-Lord's right, they were all awful people.
Like, the professor literally kills his son, like, yeah. In the chapter 2.
Yes.
God. It was all for humanity. Don't worry about it.
He's like, oh, thank God. Getter is safe. My son took one for the team, guys.
Getter was always going to be safe because it can, like, withstand fucking magma and shit. Like.
God. I was thinking about it the whole time, just like, they're all just like so morally gray, but now that you guys just put it out there like that, yeah, like, no, they're all terrible. Gore, I'm actually kind of cheering for you, because like, what did you do aside from just taking it to them? Like, I mean, God. Maybe do we now, you know, to get corny about it, maybe now we know who the true monsters are. But yeah, like, I'm looking back at chapter 2 and the hellish terror of the newts, and like,
yes, that was
newts.
Sakaki, I remember when I like first like got into the series, and I was like showing you screen caps of like, this is so weird, this is so cool, it's like this horror thing, and it's like, it's so, that chapter itself is like so ambient, like it has like this very specific mood that it goes for, and it does it so well. It's like, dude, it's so, fuck, what's the word? I'm just gonna say moody, but I want a stronger word. It's so good.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's definitely the first thing that came to mind, and obviously this came way afterward, is like, wasn't there like a villain in JoJo part 6 that did something similar to this?
Yeah, there was.
Oh,
that's the first
one with like
the snails.
Yeah, yeah, the snails. It wasn't new. It wasn't the same animal, but I know there was like a villain, or was it Weather Report?
It was Heavy Weather.
It was Heavy Weather.
Yeah. It's fucking, oh god. Fucking Weather Report, the most inconsistent fucking stand ever.
I mean, Weather Report was like a really broken stand.
It had like 5 different powers.
It could be anything you want it to be, Marion. Don't limit its dreams.
Where's the fuck no go back button? Where's the fuck no go back button? Give me Diavolo again.
God, it just works. That's all you need to know.
God. But yeah, JoJo in a nutshell.
I mean, get a robot. I would not be surprised if there were at least some of JoJo, like, to just. That chapter, at least of part 6, wasn't at least somewhat inspired by this.
True. Especially because, like, you know, all the horror influence that JoJo has. But yeah, oh man. I'm like on a caffeine high, like you guys were saying. Like, it's so exciting, like, just going through the whole thing. Just, holy shit. The chapters are so long. It reminds me of when we went through the Shodoro Uchinomori episode for Go Ranger, where, like, it was just long-ass fucking chapters with, like, a whole story in one of them. Like, yeah, dude.
It gets me wondering as to what, like, page limits were, or did they just, is this just, like, a redrawn thing for the volumes?
I think for this, this current release, and, like, really all the releases now for Get a Robo, they combine them into, like, each story being a chapter, rather than what it was weekly.
Okay. Because
it ran from, like, April 7th, like, 1974, to, like, August 24th, 1975. So that's, like, a year run. And, okay, like, you can kind of tell in some of the chapters, too, where the possible weekly breaks were, kind of like also in Go Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, yeah, I think it's just kind of a formatting thing.
Yeah, I mean, if the format works, because you can just read, a nice chunky chapter, take a break, relax a bit, then read the next one. Because, like, yeah, dude, a lot happens in every chapter.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of nice that, like, by the end of a chapter, like, you kind of feel like you've gotten a satisfying, like, stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
While, like, you can sometimes be reading a manga and not necessarily know how long a storyline's gonna go. So it's kind of nice in that way, even though, like, when you sometimes look at, like, how long a chapter is, it's like, oh god, 150 pages? Do I really want to read this right now?
Yeah, dude, I was just introduced to that concept recently with the Look Back one shot. This was just happening before.
Yeah, now they're just going to be doing that as like a one volume because it's literally long enough to be a volume.
Yeah, dude.
The good thing, though, in Get a Robo is that, like, it's a fairly art-heavy manga, I feel. So, like, even, like, for a long chapter, it doesn't take that long to actually read it.
Indeed. I think, the merit is, like, the action, the way that it's, like, paneled is so easy to read. In particular, I really love where, especially, like, whenever the Getter Robo, like, transforms, and, like, the fact that they use the fact that it's, wow, how redundant. The fact that they use, the Getter actually, like, is a fusion between three different robots, like, in, like, their actual fighting, to, like, maybe, like, oh, disconnect and then reconnect into Getter 2 or Getter 3. And then, like, they dodge attacks like that. Like, it's so fucking cool, dude. It is so fuck. Like, one of the most badass fucking scenes is, was it, like, chapter 11 or 12? Like, the Twister episode. It was the chapter where Ryo actually, like, lost his memories because he was saving the kids. They were like, oh, don't ride against the current, just follow the current of the Twister. And then, like, they transform inside the fucking, the tornado, and it looks so fucking badass. You see, like, they're, like, lining up, and then clink, and then the lightning of like, the energies is, like, sparking out. So fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, the stacking together concept is just so cool, because, like, you're getting three robots, or three giant robots. For the price of one. Yeah, for the price of one, because, like, depending on the orientation, like, it's a different, like, version of Getter Robo. And, like, I really love the whole dissembling concept, too, because, like, it's during the battle at the mountain, where, like, they get, like, trapped by a bunch of, like, tentacles. And, like, Ryo decides to use the force of disassembling the top part of Getter Robo to rip the tentacle apart.
God. And then he uses the tentacle to just smack the fucking monster.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
Dude. And it's cool, because then you get, like, the spotlight for the other two pilots whenever they take control. They're, like, basically commanding the other Getter forms.
Yeah.
Like, Musashi does the, like, Getter 3, and it's like, oh, it's the tanky one with the fucking rockets on its back.
Yeah, and also kind of the Getter 3, I really like that it kind of also uses a bit of, like, Musashi's, like, judo techniques as well.
Yeah, because they got the long arms and just, like, stretching and, like, boom.
Yeah, it's really cool. The other fight that I really loved was the jellyfish one, where, like, they have to, like, go inside the jellyfish and, like, explode it from the inside.
Yeah, they're using Thunder as armor, except they're using Getter Beam as energy. Just overload it. Oh my god.
Like, it's just so, it's just interesting to see how much of a legacy this is, like, left for other giant robots. As Velor said earlier, that this is kind of like the progenitor of them all. Because, yeah, the combining robots, like, people probably know me as, like, the resident Bomberman fan on Twitter, but, like, there's a Bomberman anime, Bakugaiden, that uses the combining robots. And I thought that was super cool when I first saw it, but reading through Get a Robo now, I realized that was just kind of an homage to this. And then, of course, Bakugaiden came out in 1998. So that's so many years after this was a thing, and still, people are still, you know, it's still being used, and I just, the idea of it just continuing and outliving, you know, not really outliving, because Get a Robo is still very much available, but just continuing that legacy, you know.
Yeah. Sakaki, how old were you when you found out the B in Bomberman stand for biter?
I was 10 years old. Oh shit, like,
and then dude, like, it's so good.
Though the one thing that with Ishinomori and of course Ishikawa, like, some of the expressions in this thing, they're probably not supposed to be as funny to me as they are, and they're, a lot of them are pretty badass, but just the spiral eyes and everything like that they have, I wouldn't be surprised too if that's also something that was picked up by Nakashima and dang, I forgot his name.
Imaishi?
Imaishi, yes. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something they picked up. Like, just the overall designs of the characters and everything like that. I mean, they can go from... They all look... I guess if you're used to more, you know, contemporary anime manga, that they all look really weird. But I kind of dig...
They look very 80s.
Yeah, I kind of dig the look, though. Especially a lot of the time, especially the villains, the bad guys, like, they all look amazing.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, like, all the monster designs, especially, the demon emperor dude, the Haki Teikoku, what is his name? He looks like, I don't know what he looks like, but he looks amazing. And, like, his, not him, Galilei, the other second in command for the dinosaur empire. He looks like fucking Amon from Devilman.
Oh, General Bat.
Yeah, General Bat. Yeah, Bat. That's exactly what he is. He's a fucking bathead.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at him. I guess another thing to be full disclosure with is I haven't read any of the guy's works either. So, like, a lot of what I'm learning now are from Marion and V-Lord, and yeah, no, I'm looking at him right now, and yeah, he does look pretty metal. Like,
yeah. Oh man. Oh, you know what I really like also? There was one fight. Oh, the fight, I think, where they recruited Musashi, where it was like in the jungle. I think that the Mechasaurus or whatever that they used there, the robot machine thing that the dinosaur people use, was like, it looked a lot like Mazinger, except like on the sides it had like two snakes.
Yeah, it did look like Mazinger,
like, especially the helmet shape, like, oh man.
Oh yeah, and he had like the two, like,
the twin snakes on the side,
like, is like, they're like almost shoulder pads but not really, and they also like kind of formed hair a little bit. That looks like, oh yeah, that does look,
it's so weird. There's so many weird designs, but like, the weirdness works in its favor because they're just so unique. You wouldn't think of that kind of shit. Like, this is like the kind of nightmare shit that a fucking, like, a feverish 4-year-old would like dream up.
I mean, no, I don't, and I completely agree with you. No, the more I look at, no, those things are his neck. Like, they're,
yeah,
it's just his neck. He's like got two like iguanas in his neck and shit. Oh god. Like, yeah, and you're right. It's like, it's God. It's in that kind of uncanny valley of being like really fucking hilarious, but also being really cool. So yeah, it is just kind of like that, like, elementary school thing where you look back at it and you're like, why did I think this, you look back at it as a teenager, you're like, why did I think it was cool, and you loop back as an adult, like, this is fucking amazing.
I'm just imagining, like, Ishikawa, like, putting a bunch of different terms in like a bucket and then just taking one out each week and say, like, okay, this is what I'm gonna shove into this thing. Oh, giant, oh my rockets God. In a dinosaur pterodactyl head. And then we're going to have snake legs. Okay, we're going to make this work, guys.
He's playing pin the part on the dinosaur.
It's true, though.
Pin the point on the abomination. I should be.
Oh, man. Okay, guys. Who's your favorite Getter pilot? Let's go.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah, that's hard. But
I feel like it has to be Musashi for me, just because, like, he's the lovable conscience of the group.
Mm-hmm. True. He is the most likable.
Yeah, that I would have to say Musashi, too. Just because, like, I guess if he hadn't been introduced in the story, I might go Hayato. But, like, yeah, once he was introduced, it was lock in. Because, as we said before, the rest of them were all really unlikable people.
Yeah, I mean, they do kind of, they sort of redeem themselves over time. Especially, like, Hayato, like, when he's introduced, he's, like, so scummy and so weird and violent. And, like, but, like, by the end, like, oh, he saves kids. And, like, he genuinely cares about Ryo and was, like, he has to be alive. Like, I believe in him and whatever. And it's just, stuff like that is genuinely, like, I wasn't expecting to actually, like resonate with that. But, like, oh, well, damn, maybe I do care about Hayato a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was introduced ripping people's faces off, so.
And ears.
Hayato's weird to think about, because, yeah, he was definitely the most, like, far out of left field in terms of personality, because, like, he was, like, hardcore, like, murdering people. And, like, when he joins, like, the Getter team, like, he's still initially like, okay, the means justify the ends. We don't have to care about all these pitiful human lives. We just need to save humanity. But, like, even though they aren't very blatant about it, like, you can definitely see, like, he is, like, growing towards and actually having compassion by the end, which is kind of nice.
I mean, it's like wild to think about, especially because, like, he works basically as, like, the, I guess, like, a deputy assistant type of, like, position to the professor, and, like, the professor is probably the most maladjusted because he has, like, no concept of morality. He's like, oh, human experimentation. Yeah, let's not destroy this lab, because I need to know what the fuck they were researching. And
he's like, yeah, he doesn't care about the actual people. He's just like, no, we need the research.
Everything is for the sake of Getter.
God, I can imagine him saying it that way, too. You see how they killed my son?
Even Musashi, when Musashi's going to go sacrifice himself, like, the professor's just like, no, he's doing it for the sake of Getter.
Yes. God. Yeah, I would say probably my favorite is probably Hayato. Like, weird to think about. But I actually like all three of them. Like, they, especially by the end, they each had, like, their moments. And I think it's cool. Like, though, they're such a weird ragtag group of, like, pilots that, like, oh, yeah, to perform in the Getter, you must have teamwork. And it's just like, these guys barely know each other. But, like, I kind of, like, I fuck with it because Musashi is just, like, to pilot a robot, you just need guts and hope and courage. And, like, yes, you're exactly the target audience.
No, that's a great way of putting it, too. And I guess that's why it's funny that he's the one who died.
Yeah, like, he's too innocent. He's too pure.
We can't have the pure boy.
No, you're too pure to live. Like, I actually kind of dig that decision, though, because you would think, I mean, you know, Ryo's not going anywhere. He's a protagonist. Even with that fake out, like, you knew that he was going to come back from that. So the only logical one you think at that point would be Hayato. He'd have, you know, he'd have his character development plateau. He'd be like, okay, you know, humans aren't so bad. And then he sacrificed himself and, you know, you'd expect that instead of the guy who's been essentially the heart all along being the one to die.
Yeah, and it's like if Togashi actually killed Kuwabara, we would have rioted.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think the decision to kill Musashi 2 is interesting because, like, there's so many moments in Getter Robo where they're like, oh, we're going to go sacrifice our lives to go defeat this enemy. But then they all come back, like, unscathed, and they're fine.
Turns out all you needed was actually the resolve. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. But, like, with Musashi's final moments, that's the one time where it's like, no, that's not the case. He was legitimately going into a fight that, like, he knew he couldn't win. And, like, yeah, he dies.
Yeah, I agree. That was just really interesting, especially this far. I mean, again, being like the Progenitor, that's interesting that they'd have that kind of like blueprint set out for future writers of this kind of genre. I mean, it's funny that a lot of them really went the way that I was saying, which is like the one rough and tumble guy is the one who dies after he gets his character development. But so I kind of wonder if just maybe Musashi's dying had, like, left a bad taste in the mouth of readers or something. Like, it was heroic, and it was, like, definitely well executed, but the fact that you don't see that happen so much. Like, if the character who's supposed to be the heart of the group dies, usually it's, like, after someone else, or, well, not after. I should say, like, usually it's them and another character dies. It's usually not just them. So I'm just thinking of it from a story writing perspective. It was just like, somebody was just like, yeah, that just didn't, yeah, we're just not going to do that again.
It's interesting too, because like, I feel like the greater theme of Get a Robo is kind of like, okay, humanity has this untapped potential that they can overcome obstacles.
Did you mean spiral energy?
Yes, it's literally spiral energy. Nakashima just copied Get a Robo.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we, like, established that.
It's still showing the other side of that, where it's like, yeah, you have this like large pool of potential, but there's still human limits. You can't just go in and be unstoppable. At some point, like, there will be something that you can't do on your own, which is an interesting thing to have in like a series that, for one thing, is like from the 70s and also like aimed at children.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out, like, the human limit is hotter than magma, but not as hot as a fucking, like, a nuclear bomb.
I guess so.
I mean, hey, it's when you have a giant jellyfish that's just converting people, their bodies, getter beams and everything into energy, then at some point you just break. You reach a breaking point.
Oh, dude. I was just thinking of, like, when Musashi pulled out the core from the Getter One, and, like, he's, like, holding it out. Like, I have definitely seen that in, like, other shows.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Dude, what the fuck was that show where, like, they used, like, they took out the core of, like, some robot, and then they had to, like, connect it for some kind of sustainable energy for whatever. What the fuck am I thinking about?
God. That does sound super familiar, but no, I can't. I don't know either.
Knights of Cydonia?
I don't think it was that, but that also fits. Damn, man, Get a Robo's iconic.
It really is, just to, like, again, as somebody who's just reading this for the first time, just seeing a lot of the tropes that I've seen in other shows and where they started from. Like, I always love seeing that kind of thing where it's, you can see the author, your favorite author's inspiration. Going back and reading those things. Because, I mean, it's one thing to be like, yeah, you know, reading an interview, oh, I was, you know, inspired by this manga or by this artist. But to actually read the work that they're inspired by, you know, especially if you had no idea.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, dude, it's very eye-opening when you see, like a source for something like that. And then just when you go back to whatever was influenced, how they just wear it on their sleeve. It's so, I guess humbling, but also, like, I don't know. It gives me, like, a very, I don't know.
It's like when you read Tomorrow's Joe for the first time, and then everywhere you just see Tomorrow's Joe references.
True!
It's true.
I'm gonna read Tomorrow's Joe just so I can play Danganronpa.
I mean, Rumiko Takahashi Dang it, Ron also... Paul. We should totally just, like, Rumiko Takahashi referenced it in One Pound Gospel, so clearly we also need to read it for that, too. So when we do
I remember the Sleeping Joe reference of One Pound Gospel is kind of funny, because it's not even in the boxing ring.
Oh, that's good. She didn't take the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, she just... I mean, I actually... The only reason I remember it is, like, one of the Japanese fans of Takahashi kind of posted it. I guess they just discovered that themselves. And I was like, oh, okay, there's that. One Pound Gospel is something I do need to read as well, so...
Yeah, One Pound Gospel's fun. Viz, reprint it.
I was about to ask, because I remember there was one series when we were talking about the news that you were saying there was one series that was like not that we're waiting for that to be reprinted, and then we would have kind of like the Takahashi Perfecta. But okay, so it was that one.
Yeah, like the fourth volume of One Pound Gospel is like getting really hard to get. Like I think it's just completely out of print now.
Okay, well. Hopefully. But yeah, getting back to Get a Robo, like one thing I will say, and I shouldn't be like surprised by this by now, but we talked about it briefly, but just the depictions of violence are so fucking over the top.
God, the beheaded baby.
Oh, God. And all the beheaded children, too. It's like, man.
I will avenge them as I'm holding the beheaded baby in my arms, like. What the fuck, man?
I posted one in our chat where it's just like the guy's like, oh, get revenge on everybody. He's like holding the head of his friend. And he's like wandering around. And it's like, God, I know I shouldn't be surprised because manga was just, it just hit different back then. But
true. Holy shit. You know what's funny, though? Like, I honestly thought for like a split second before... We got like, oh yeah, Ryo is still alive or whatever. I thought that kid was probably going to be like a new pilot or something.
I didn't think that, but I will say for they got me in that first half though with his death. Cuz like there's just been so much other like off the wall wild shit that I like for 30 seconds I did believe he might actually be dead. But
I will say though it would have been a crazy funny twist because that like a couple of chapters before with the other professor, I forgot the name, like Ishii something, or like the one that makes all the weapons. I think it's a different professor because he doesn't have like hair and he has like some fucked up eye or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but yeah, I don't remember his name off the top of my head.
Where he was like he was taken hostage and the reptiloid or whatever was just like, hey, if you kill me, I'll kill this guy too. And the professor guy's like, yes, perfect. I wanted to die. Yes, oh, let's go. God, can I get a pug?
He's like, Ryo, make sure you get this part of my face and so that we all like melt onto this floor.
Yeah, make sure my brain splatters on this side of the wall and like, God. Fucking...
Yeah, shoot my bad side. Just get rid of it. I don't want that on my like grave.
Oh, Professor Shikishima.
Shikishima, yeah. What matters is that you use this weapon that I made in the Gulf War so that you just fucking, like, just, yeah, like, God.
I mean, yeah, he's just this kind of guy who's like, it's always been a joy for me to see the dead bodies of those killed by my weapons. Oh boy, the greatest joy is to be killed with my own machinery.
Meanwhile, the dinosaur guy's like, what the fuck? He is, like, terrified. He's like, I fucked up. I picked the wrong hostage.
I'm actually reading that right now. Look at this face. I'm ecstatic. I've been waiting 50 years for this shit. To go to blind and blood. And he's, like, crying. Like literally. He's, like, legit, like, just overwhelmed with emotion. I could die such a beautiful, bloody death. I couldn't ask for anything more. I got an album. He's, like, he's asking Ryo to, like, put it in his album. Yeah, kill me and take a pic, take it like selfie, and like
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
put
take
it
a
here.
Picture and like put it with all my other pictures of like people dying and shit. Like,
yeah, I'm looking at the dinosaur too. He's like, what? Nah, this is how this was supposed to go.
and then Ryo was like, wow, thanks for the act. He's like, what are you talking about? Act? That wasn't acting.
God.
Oh, rats. I escaped death again. He said it like it was like a fucking, like a Scooby-Doo villain. Like, oh, jeepers. Fucking escape
Not
death again.
Not you meddling kids.
Hey, God. Look at me, Ryu. Shoot me. Shoot me, motherfucker. Make me. Make Come me Pickle me, Rick.
He looks like him.
Now I'm just imagining him with like a Justin Roiland voice.
Yeah.
Shoot me, Rio. Shoot me. We have to get through customs, Rio.
Yeah, Rio. Rio, what are you, a fucking pussy? just fire, Rio. What the fuck are you waiting for?
Now you see, Rio, when I was your age, I put a bullet in my own ass, you know?
Oh my god. But yeah, then we get another like really awesome design with like, what is this guy? He's like, I guess a Stegosaurus with like mechanical wings, and he's got like a visor that's a pterodactyl. I just looked to zoom in on this page and this guy looks fucking pissed.
God, so much happens, dude. And
then you get like of course Musashi the King. He's like, he's injured, but he's still like, yeah, we got shit to do. Get in the robot, Ryu.
Dude, Musashi, now that I realize, Musashi's like injured for like half of the fights that he's in the Getter Robo.
Yeah, he is.
No wonder he died. Shit.
Like the time he got freaking like stabbed through like the middle of his chest.
God, yeah. Oh, wait, guys.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Getter form?
Oh, okay, that's a tough one.
I kind of like Getter too, just because of the drill.
Yeah, dude, the drill grew so much on me. And like, they could go underground, but they also like, they use it a lot for like a finisher. For like piercing the enemy like through like their center or whatever.
I really like the moment where like they use the drill as like a bullet and like shoot it at the enemy.
Yeah, like a rocket punch, but with a drill.
Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah, fucking. I'm still honestly like, dude, Getter 1 is just so classic, dude. The head shape, every time that we see it like transform and like come out in that shape. Where you see like the parts that look like ears like coming out, every time that it's drawn, it looks like, I can just imagine the way that it like it would be animated, like it just looks so cool and fluid.
Yeah, no, I think I'm gonna go with Getter 1 just because like when they have like it drawn in shadows, like maybe it's coming out of the shadows, or there are a couple times where it's like on its knees after being hit or something. And just the way that it looks, the way that the eyes are positioned and everything like that in the darkness, even when it's like being defeated, and it's like, I'm looking at one panel here, I'll throw it in the chat, but yeah, even when it's about to be defeated, it looks really like sinister and shit, and I kind of like that, that sense of aesthetic, just that while it's supposed to be this like good robot, it still comes off as like really like sinister looking. Yeah, I just put it up. But, like, I just really like that. You get the, you know, especially when contrast it with the really outlandish enemies. Like, I just like the fact that the Getter Robo itself can look, it could both look really weird and silly looking, but also look really badass.
Definitely. Also, man, yes. That Getter Tomahawk.
Yo.
Getter Tomahawk, dude. Axes are, like, some of the coolest weapons, but they barely get like, I guess, like their due in anime, just because like swords are more like easy, I guess, to draw and more like, I don't know, like they're just, it's just something that you could expect more easily. But yeah, dude, fucking Getter Tomahawk, it comes out of its shoulder.
Isn't it? Now your like avatar makes sense. God, I never really looked that much. I looked at it. And I always thought it was cool, but I never knew where it was from.
Yeah, dude, it's Getter 1.
I didn't know. Like I said, I've never read Getter Robo or been into Getter Robo. So, like, I've only got into it just for this recording. So, like, I've seen Marion's, like, avatar on Discord plenty of times, and I've always, like, thought it was cool, but I never thought to ask where it was from. And I'm pretty sure Marion has probably said Getter Robo. But now that I'm actually looking at it, and yeah, that is it. And it looks so cool. I might have to actually watch the anime now.
I think that's from Shin Getter Robo, or Getter Robo Armageddon, maybe?
It looks so cool.
And I also have this one gif from, I think the opening, like the very beginning, where it's just like when it combines and it's just like,
whew. Yeah, I love the cape.
Oh man, that's dope.
That's so dope. Like, he's got the cape and everything. And I like that it has these like features that make it less robot and more, I don't know the way to describe it. Because, you know, robots, usually giant robots are like very, they're robots. They're supposed to be stiff and, you know, not inflexible, but I don't know the word I'm going for here. But
organic?
Yeah. Like inorganic. Exactly. Yeah, they're very, you know, they're made of metals and stuff like that, and even the most like, you know, impenetrable alloy or whatever like that was meant to be, you know, for battle and stuff like that. But then you have Getter Robo, who looks very organic, and the way that this gif kind of like it bends forward and then backward, and like it's depicted well even in the manga without having an emotion or anything like that.
I think that's the thing that comes from like Nagai and a lot of like more like super robot shows, not like realistic robot or real robot type of shows, where because they're like so outlandish and like almost supernatural with like how like powerful and stuff that they get, and like sometimes their powers don't make like logical sense, but it's just for the sake of cool, like they make the robots feel or like move more human, which is like, it's like a contrast to how almost supernatural their powers get.
They're like superheroes that just happen to be robots.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. That actually, that's a great way of putting it. Like,
I also really just like Getter One's design, just because of like the fact that it's so wide and it's like it looks very untraditional from like a normal like a super robot, because most of the time like those kind of robots will go more for like a kind of like human proportions, but like you don't really see like the Gundam, like Mazinger, like all of these other robots, like they don't have like their torso. They're usually like they're more like compact or like done in a way to make them look like thinner or cooler, kind of like how, you know, like Barbie dolls have like their own little like proportions that are like, maybe they're unrealistic for actual women, but it's like, oh, this is the ideal.
I know you don't like it, but
exactly.
This is the ideal robot body.
You may not like it, but this is peak performance.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yes, no, I get what you're saying. Like, it is that he's just a round boy that just makes it that much more iconic. Because, yeah, like, I'm not going to say so much of that robots. I again, as not somebody who's, like, a mecha enjoyer, like, I do find the fact that Getter Robo is this kind of, like, organic and looks, as Velour says, is more like a just superhero with other superheroes in him.
Yeah.
more than just being, like, a giant robot. I mean, you could probably just have Getter Robo just as a unit by itself without having the human side of things, and it would still just work, because it doesn't look like a giant robot or anything like that. Like,
it would be like if you can treat it like fucking like Ultraman or something, like, I'll believe it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, that's a great way to put it, because like even with like Sentai, like, even though those are still outlandish, they still lean more towards like you know, Gundam, but
yeah, like the Megazords, like,
yeah,
they're like, you know, like Voltron, where like there will still be parts of like their limbs where they look kind of thin during like the parts that they connect or whatever, but like Getter Robo just like from the shoulders to the forearms to whatever, like it's all like, I don't know, like big.
Yeah, they're all like big, thick, like you can tell, like, I'm going there. I'm going to establish this lore, but like, not establish it. It's probably obvious, but you could tell, like, this is where, like, the children who would go on to like form Capcom and shit, this is where they got it. Like,
true.
Getter Robo's like, got the Capcom limbs and like arms and legs.
Yeah, like, because you look at Getter Robo, he looks like he could be like not like Mega Man X, but
Mega
like,
Man X. You got these red galoshes for feet. Holy shit.
Oh my god.
I was actually about to say, like, not Mega Man X, but, like, the original Mega Man. I swear there are, like, enemies that look like Getarobo in that one. If not, straight up, just, like... Like, probably there are robot masters in, like, the original Mega Man series that definitely have taken their, taking cues from, like, Getarobo. Because, like, this would have been around the time... I don't remember exactly when Capcom was, like, formed, but it was, like what, mid-80s? Yeah, mid-80s, something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, like 85 or some shit.
Yeah, so definitely when Getarobo was a thing, like, definitely the kids that probably, or, like, the target demographic would have been probably looking for jobs when around Capcom started. And I can imagine there's a bunch of just people that were super into Getarobo just being like,
dude, yeah, dude, I just thought of the best thing.
Yo.
Super changing robot. Getarobo.
Oh, I just looked it up. Capcom began in 1979, but I mean, they just made game machines then. So yeah, they started at 83. That's when they were making, like, I guess, I don't know, just like game machines, I guess arcade units or whatever. I'm not sure. But like in 83 is when they started making their own shit. So yeah, the timeline kind of checks out. I could definitely see people growing up on Getarobo just making Mega Man. Cause Mega Man's like a pastiche of like a bunch of different, like robot stuff that existed around the time anyway. So, cause I'm trying to remember what series. I remember they specifically says Dog Rush was like, what was that? Was it?
It's Clifford? Me.
Hmm?
Just kidding. I said Clifford. I said just kidding.
Wait, Clifford?
No. Yeah. God. What was the name of that series? It like Madhouse redid it, and it had
What does it look like?
It was something. I'm gonna look it up. And I know I'm going to be really mad when I finally remember the title of it. Cash Earn.
Oh, Cash Earn.
Yeah.
Like Cash Earn.
The Cash Earn Sins. That was the name of the series. But yeah, I know that like Mega Man's dog was based off of the dog in Cash Earn.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, he kind of does look like Frender.
Yeah, that's this dog's name. Yes, Rush looks like Frender. And that, like, I do just believe that the Capcom just took a bunch of these things and then put them together, and that's how they got Mega Man. So, like, and now looking at Getarobo's design and really getting into, like, the lore of it, yeah, I can definitely see just... Again, this thing is a legacy. It's not even really... It's past the point of just being a manga. Like, it has established so much that we're... That anybody, even if you haven't read Getarobo, you have read Getarobo.
Yeah, like, from, like, start to finish, it's just, like, everything I want to say is just me gushing. And, like, it's funny because, like, as I was reading, I was nowhere near as, like visibly, probably excited as I am, like, when I'm talking about it now. But, like, it just brings such a smile to my face, like... This is, like, the stuff that I grew up with, and, like, I love robots, dude. They're so cool.
Well, you know, chicks, dudes love chicks, and everyone else digs giant robots, so.
True. I dig giant robots. You dig giant robots.
But, yeah, no, this is definitely the kind of thing where I would have loved to have been a Japanese kid just growing up with this. I almost wish I would have been able to just pick up a Shonen Sunday every week and read these and just, God, because, like, this would have been also around the time the magazine had been properly established. Because one thing I found out, doing research for the blog and everything is that at first, the manga magazines were just kind of like, they just threw whatever they could in there. They didn't really have a set. They even had, right, like essays. They had essays from people, like not like manga essays, but like I remember one of the inaugural issue of Sunday had like a famous doctor talking about, you know, like how important it is for like basically raising children, you know. Like, there wasn't really a whole bunch of set, like, manga, per se, until way later, and Getarobo would have been around that time where manga magazines were actually featuring mostly manga, and not so much just a hodgepodge of whatever the editor felt like throwing in there. So definitely, Getarobo even has that kind of, like, going for its legacy, where it is just it was kind of like a manga in the time where manga magazines were becoming more of a normalized thing. So, I mean, it is just interesting.
Normalized manga. Sorry.
No, you're good. So, yeah, I would say it is a shame that these are very difficult to find because, I mean, obviously there's those places. I mean, what am I saying? We've talked about scans on here before, but yeah, obviously there's that. And, of course, as I don't know if we mentioned it, did we? That, like, even buying these in Japanese, you can only get them through eBook Japan for whatever reason.
Yeah, like, I think Ishikawa and Go Nagai, or, like, I think Dynamic Productions probably have a exclusivity contract, like, for digital versions of their work with eBook Japan. Because, like, I couldn't find these anywhere else, which is really weird. Like, I couldn't get it on Kindle, I couldn't get it on Bookwalker. And also, like, I also just don't like using eBook Japan because, like, their site's not very good.
Yeah, no. eBook Japan, the Funimation of manga readers.
It's also just inconvenient because they don't have, like, a app that's friendly for international users or anything either. So, they aren't as open to non-Japanese residents buying manga from them.
Yeah, because, like, they don't... Yeah, as Wheeler says, there's no real app. I mean, there used to be one, but then... Because I remember trying to read it on the app, and it's just the app just kept giving me errors, so... Yeah, it wasn't until you told me that you have to pretty much read in the browser that... Which is such a weird decision. Like, there's an app for everything now, and now you guys are...
I think that there is still an app, but it's just locked to Japan.
Oh, okay. That definitely makes more sense then. Still, that's so odd, but okay. But yeah, it's a shame that it is harder to get if you want to, like, legitimately support it, because I would love to own these in a way that's not eBook Japan.
I feel like the best bet would just be to buy the physicals.
True. Yeah, 1974 to 1975. 51. The anime was done by Toei way back.
Yep.
With music by Shunsuke Kikuchi?
Yeah.
The Dragon Ball guy? Holy shit, the Dragon Ball. Why is this getting more and more? It's like this series. It's like at this point I'm going to have to watch it.
I mean, Kikuchi did a lot before Dragon Ball. He did Kashon, too. And Doraemon. Shit.
Yeah. I was just looking at his, like... I mean, of course, the main thing I know him for is Dragon Ball. But, like, yeah, no, I'm looking through the rest of the things he's done. And, yeah. Oh my god, like SNK, they said they were inspired by the series when designing the three main characters of King of Fighters. Like, wow, this is kind of amazing. But yeah.
And Robo's just too powerful.
It just keeps living on and on. And I mean, especially through this new series, which actually, okay, three volume. And oh, so the story for Arc ended prematurely. Oh, okay, but there was a thing after it. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple, like, reboots and, like, reinterpretations of Getter Robo since then. Like, the one, like, Getter Robo, like, thing that is licensed manga-wise is, Getter Robo Devolution, which is by the, writer of the Ultraman manga.
Huh. Where does that run? I mean, I know it's not exactly a Shogi thing.
It ran in, Besatsu Shonen Champion. It was, like, 5 volumes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking through this thing, and most of the Getter Robo series seem to be kind of short.
Yeah, I think they're like 3 volumes each. Some of them are like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think Go is the longest one at 7 volume.
Okay. Let's see something. Well, actually, wait. Like, technically, looking at Getter Robo arc, I mean, Ishikawa did. He passed away 3 years after it ended. It looks like what happened was where it ran was the magazine itself just went defunct.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. Here we go. Super Robot Comics. And yeah, so the magazine went defunct and they just didn't choose to move it.
Ishikawa said, you can finish this in your head.
I kind of wonder now, at this point, now I'm kind of wondering how the... I assume the anime will probably make up some sort of ending.
I'd assume so, yeah.
Yeah, so... I wonder how long it's going to be. Probably with 3 volumes, they could probably do that in a core easy. But alright, I mean, if we don't have much else to say about Getter Robo, then I guess we can get her out of here. I'm going to keep doing all this.
Alright, I laughed at that one. I laughed at that one.
You get a gold star, Sakaki.
Yes, finally, my life is complete.
Alright, yeah, that was fruitful. I think I might have been a little too excited, because now I'm a little tired. And now this is not even a very long recording.
It's not, like, and I guess it kind of makes up for the news being super duper long. I didn't expect this to have like a whole lot to say about this one, just because like Getter Robo is an experience. We can sit here and talk about it and yeah, but like it's not the kind of series that had lends itself to like really a whole bunch of alternative like interpretations like another work might.
Yeah, at least not the early parts. I hear, like, once you get to, like, Getter Robo Go, that's where a lot of the more narrative substance comes in. But, like, Getter Robo and Getter Robo G, like, the Shogakukan Getter Robos are kind of, like, more of the foundational super robot type story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's... There's really not much... All we would be able to do is really gush about it, but, like... Most of what we would have had to say, we've already said. So, like, yeah, but definitely, if you guys are, I mean, if anybody listening to this is interested, then yeah, definitely Getter Robo Arc would be. I don't know if that's a good place to start.
I've heard it is not.
Okay.
you can also check out the Getter Robo OVAs that Right Stuff has been putting out.
Okay.
I own the first collection. I think it's only one so far.
Isn't it Discotech?
What did I say?
You said Right Stuff.
Right. I'm sorry. You can find it on Right Stuff. It's published by Discotech.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have a few of the Getter Robo things. They have like Shin Getter Robo, Getter Robo Armageddon, Shin Getter Robo versus Neo Getter Robo. So yeah, we have a few entry points there. And then Seven Seas, of course, has Getter Robo De-Evolution.
Yes. That manga.
So yeah, definitely there's ways to get your to get her on. I'll stop. But yeah, so if you can get it, since Getter Robo Arc is probably not like the best place to start, you can start with those, thanks to, you know, Discotech and getting off the Right Stuff, or any other place anime or soul, please sponsor us. And
yes, Dark Lord Sean Kleckner, I know you're listening. I am also a Dark Lord.
Oh my god.
But yeah, like, definitely Getter Robo's fun. It is a lot of fun. And I will be, like, I might try to track down the OVAs, because
I can stream one of them on Discord. I think Shin Getter Robo I have.
Yo, okay, we gotta make that happen. So I know we keep saying stuff like that, but yo, we gotta make that happen at some point, because probably not tonight, because I'm tired of shit, but yeah, definitely we gotta make that happen. If not, I will definitely pick it up myself, because I had a lot of fun with this. But yeah, Getter Robo.
Yeah, I definitely want to check out more of the Getter Robo animes myself, and I also want to check out De-Evolution, because like, I've heard that's like essentially like a more modern interpretation of the original Getter Robo. So I'm curious like how that's handled.
Yeah, if you want, I'll ask my friend Ramon, because he's like the aficionado for all Getter and like all like mecha shit in general. It's just, he just loves fucking robots. That's where I got most of my appreciation of super robots post-childhood. But yeah, for sure. Oh.
Well, I mean, just as an aside, the director of Arc has worked on a lot of, like, Go Nagai, Ken Ishikawa stuff, Jun Kawagoe. He's worked on Getter Robo Armageddon, Shin Getter Robo versus Neo Getter Robo, New Getter Robo, and he's, yeah, currently doing Arc Cyborg 009 versus Devilman.
Yes, that's, that had a fire-ass fucking OST.
It did.
So, yeah, so I at least we know the director, like, I mean, at least we know that Ark's in, like, really good hands as far as the director goes. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And all right, Kaiser,
I guess, yeah. Oh, wait, which, what was that?
Oh, and the Mazinkaiser SKL.
Let's fucking go. Dude, have either of you seen Mazinkaiser SKL?
No.
I have not.
We're going to watch that tonight. Takaki, you're staying up.
God. Oh, okay, God. Let's do it.
It is like, oh my God, it's like cracked out. It's literally fucking the same energy that of what we just read.
Okay, sure, let's do it. I mean, I'm looking at it and it's 27 minutes for three episodes. So I think I can fade that.
Yeah, we're doing it. All right. We got to transition now. V-Lord, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, and then I write various things for all-comic.com and TanamiFaithful.com, so check out that. And then I'm also involved with a number of podcasts with Marion and Sakaki specifically. We also do the Oversoul Shaman King podcast at Shaman King Pod, and the Demon Slayer podcast at D Slayer Podcast. And then I have my other podcast, Dumb Weebs Podcast, on Twitter at Dumb Weebs Pod. And then I also pop up on the Toonami Faithful Podcast, which is on Twitter at Toonami Podcast. So check out all those.
Nice. Sakaki, where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me at WSS Talkback. That's where all the Shonen Sunday fun happens. And we are the one magazine Twitter who actually goes through the entire magazine every week, so definitely come in for that news, interviews, and other well mostly it's for news and just kind of like covers and stuff like that, but for interviews and reviews of manga you can go to wsstalkback.blogspot.com, and where Marion has written some stuff for us there. And anybody who's interested in writing about Shogakukan manga, currently running, ended, anything that's Shogakukan adjacent, please. We always are looking for guest writers, so please, by all means. Then you can find me at Kirobon, K-I-I-R-O-B-O-N. And actually, I've been tweeting shit about this read that I've been doing for Get a Robo. So if you're following that, you probably saw a few of those tweets. Otherwise, I'm actually doing stuff with that Twitter now, so you can definitely check that out if you're interested in what I'm reading. Sometimes it's Shogakukan, sometimes it isn't, but yeah. I'm also on a podcast with our good friend Colton at Another Day, Another Adventure at Another DB Pod on Twitter, where if it's animated and has Goku in it, then we're probably going to talk about it at some point. And it's been a ton of fun And that's like a Patreon thing for Manga Mavericks. And it's been a ton of fun. So definitely check that out too. And yeah, that's where you can find me other than with these fine folks I'm with now.
Hell yeah. Make sure to follow both of these fine folks. They put out amazing content, and without them, this podcast would not be a thing. So yeah, for sure. Definitely check them out. You can find me on Twitter at Microwavy, the E is before the V. I have a card in my description with all my other projects, in case you're interested in hearing me on all the other podcasts I star on. I co-host the Good Friends Anime Club at Good Friends Cast on Twitter. That's on hiatus. The Haikyuu Podcast at Haikyuu Pod on Twitter. That's also on hiatus until more Haikyuu comes out. What else? I am on Demon Slayer Podcast with Sakaki and V-Lord, and on Oversoul Shaman King Podcast with them as well. Sometimes I guest on the My Hero Academia podcast. Not recently though. It's been just pretty busy for me, IRL and whatnot. But just keep your eyes peeled and your ears glued, I guess, for any other stuff that we might be on. You can find Saturday Night Shoggy on Twitter at SatNightShoggy. You can also find our episodes anywhere that podcasts can be found, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, you name it. If you can find podcasts there, we are probably there. We're also on YouTube. And yeah, if you like this episode or if you like any of our content, be sure to leave a like and rating. It really helps out with the algorithm and whatnot. This was Get a Robo. If you have not checked it out, I vehemently urge you to please check it out. Like, we've talked a lot about like what it influenced and what impact it's had on cultural, what kind of cultural input it's had. If you like Gurren Lagann, which I'm sure most of you do, you owe it to yourself to see what Get a Robo is. But yeah, make do. You should make do like Ryo and sock it to the man. No, that's Hayato. Sock it to the man. All right. I know what to do. On one, say change, getter. Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Change getter.